Isn't it interesting that we find ourselves January the 1st in the Lord's house? Sometimes it turns out that we're the 4th or 5th or 6th, and we look at the new year and we were already reflecting back 3 or 4 days. I won't mention any names, I promise that, but somebody said to me at the door, I'm doing well, it's 10 hours and I'm still out of trouble in the new year. But you can figure out who that was later. But as I look at the new year, I want to also in personally reflect back. See, I have three occasions coming up. It's Christmas, and 5 days later it's my birthday, and then 2 days later it's the new year. So I'm reflecting not only on my life generally, but also what God can do and what God will do in the new year. Now, I want to read a passage, and we're going to come back to this next week. Praise the Lord that Dave gave me 2 weeks, because I want to really, really come to this next week and really reflect a little more. But let me just read something what Paul wrote to the Philippians. And I want you to think about this for a moment. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing wealth of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, to be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death." And then he goes on in verse 13 and said, "Not that I've already attained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make my own because Christ has made me his own." He says, "I consider everything lost for the excellency of Christ." I want to kind of conclude that next week, Lord willing, but I just want to reflect a little bit on where I've come from. It was 5 years ago this February that I announced that I was leaving here to take on a church south of Tillsonburg, and a year ago now we retired from there. I think I told you last time I was here, I retired with the thought of doing some traveling and so forth, and a month later my son called me and said, "Do you want a job?" And I said, "Duh, you don't know what retirement means." But anyway, I took a position for 6 months, and I'm still there. That was in January this year, or last year, pardon me, now. And we're still looking to the Lord for his guidance and direction. But this year has been quite an eventful year for us. We spent a couple of weeks in Florida in March. And then in the summer, in July, we spent a couple of weeks down in Pennsylvania with our kids traveling. And then in August, we took a quick trip to Thunder Bay because my wife's cousin had been diagnosed with cancer, and he had asked me a couple of years ago, when the time comes, would you do my funeral? So we went up to Thunder Bay in August to spend a little time with him, just to reflect a little bit to see where I was spiritually, and we're just so thankful that he expressed his faith in Christ and so forth. And just a month later, he passed away. So we took another trip to Thunder Bay to do his funeral, to be involved in that. And then Nancy's mom has been ailing for a number of years, but just recently took a turn for the worse. And November the 30th, she passed on. And again, it fell on my lot to do her funeral that she had asked. And so we've been going through a lot this past year. And then 2 days ago, I turned 70. And thanks. I felt okay about it until I looked. My scale has your weight, pardon me, your age and your height. And I looked down and saw 70 because I changed it, and I thought, oh, well, that's getting old. And my grandchildren announced to me Friday that I was old. And so I'm delighted that they advised me on that and kept me posted on that. They're quite willing to tell me that. I wanted to spend some time this morning. We're going to come back to, Lord willing, to Philippians next week, but I want to spend some time this morning in 1 John. And I'm not going to be able to finish my message this morning. I've been told if I go past a certain time, this mic turns off. So we'll be very careful about our timing. But I want you to turn to 1 John for a moment, and then first of all to reflect on what John was saying to the church and to the people as he wrote this epistle. And I pray that as we think about this, we think about ourselves entering a new year. What are my priorities in 2017? I can reflect back in the mid-60s, late-60s, thinking 2000 seems so far away. And now I'm looking back and thinking, wow, that was a long time ago, Y2K, and all those kind of things that were going on. But every year at this time, I want to reflect on what God has done in my life, forgetting those things are behind, but looking forward to those things that are in the future, looking forward to what God wants to do in my heart and my life in 2017 now. Can you imagine God's goodness to my life for the last 70 years and what the next step is? My grandson told me my life is half over. I said, wow, it's only half over. I said, probably a little more than that. But let's just bow and just ask God to lead us as we take time to look in His Word. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the trust we have and the faith we have in You for all that You have done in our lives. And Father, I just pray now as we reflect on the new year that You would just guide and direct my thoughts, Father, but each of us as we reflect on what You have done for us and all the praise and the worship that we have already expressed this morning. But now, Father, help us to look forward to what You have for us in the future. Help us not to dwell on the past. Help us to move forward with what God can do, what You desire to do in each one of our lives as a church family. Father, may we dedicate ourselves to prayer. May we dedicate ourselves to allowing Your Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives as we spend some time just meditating on what You desire through us and in us this year. Father, pray for Your blessing upon the team. I pray that You'll just bless them. And I pray that Your Spirit will just guide us as we spend some time this morning just meditating on Your Word. Lord, guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do something that's almost impossible, but I'm going to try. For the next two Sundays, because I won't get through it all today, I'm going to walk through 1 John. I want to just do a little survey of some key phrases I find in 1 John that would help me to understand God's Word better. As I understand what was going on here, there were a lot of questions about who Jesus was. The unbelievers took hold in some respects, and the Christians were caught up in that. Who is Jesus? Who is the Son of? Was he the Son of God? Was he just a good man, or was he just simply a man? Was he a good teacher? Was he somehow a misguided fool? Well, we know truth. We know the truth. But John was trying to take away the doubts of the Christians in this book and the questions they have. Who is Jesus? Is he God? Did he come to save us? Does he really care about our lives and the reality of our lives? If you look at 1 John, let me just give you a quick summary here. John is proclaiming that God is light, God is love, and God is life. If we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as being light, love, and life, that's the real key issue for John here as he writes this. But he didn't talk about just his theological position. He talked from personal contact with the Lord Jesus. He walked with Him. He talked with Him. He saw Him heal. He heard His teaching. He watched Him, and he recognized Him dying on the cross and saw the experience of Him being raised from the dead. Here's John, an older gentleman now at this point, like maybe I am, as we think about that, and he's concerned for the younger believers. And one thing he wants to understand is, who is God? And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next couple of weeks. Who is God to you? What difference does it make to you that God is there at all? And if we think about that, it can help us just to focus a few minutes. And if you look at this, if you look at the first couple of chapters, from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 27, it talks about God as light. In chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 4, verse 21, God is love. In chapter 5, verse 1 through 21, God is life. The themes in this book are sin, love, family of God, truth and error, and certainly assurance of salvation. If you look at the qualities here of the relationship, it says in chapter 1, verse 7, walk in light. Chapter 1, verse 8, recognize our sin. Chapter 1, verse 9, confess our sin. We'll come back to that in a moment. Chapter 2 and chapter 5, keep my commandments. Chapter 2, verse 28, abide in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3 and chapter 5, verse 21, keep spotted from the world. And chapter 3, verse 17, minister to the brethren in need. Now, what I want to do is just take a few phrases and just stop and emphasize what God can do in my life in 2017 as I emphasize these three or four phrases this morning. We'll see how far we go. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, and let me read for you from verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. See the source? The message is not from John, it's from God. He says, this is the message that we heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the message. If there's one thing I want to leave with you this morning as we think about this, what is the most important responsibility I have in 2017 is living for God and being able to share a message of salvation, share a message that God wants to save us and wants to have that relationship with us every day of our lives. Somebody wrote this, truth is in Jesus Christ. Be wise enough to know it. Be humble enough to believe it. Be brave enough to declare it. And be spiritual enough to live it. I want to see in my life in 2017 the fact that Christ's truths are being lived out in every area of my life. I want to experience that because it says this is the message that you heard from him declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness. If I find myself living in a sin-filled world as the sin-filled unbelievers in the world, there's something wrong in my life. There needs to be a change in me to bring me from that darkness to light, and that's what Christ does. He brings us from darkness to light when we accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. It's pretty clear here that it's about God's saving grace in my heart and my life. If there's one message, if you go home with nothing else, but that one message is that we need to hold true to God's word, not just in our church, folks, but in our lives. God's word needs to be the primary focus of everything that I do in life and just allow God's spirit to take control of who I am. And really, we talk about the holiness of God. It says God is light and him is no darkness. If you think of the holiness of God, I go back to Exodus chapter 15. I'm just going to read this for you. In verse 11, it says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like your majesty and holiness, majestic holiness, awesome in your glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretch forth your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love, and you led in the redemption of your people, and goes on and on and on. And if you go into Isaiah and Revelation, it talks about holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The world is filled with your glory. And if I stop and evaluate that, you know something, I listen to politicians, I look around me, and I get very, very discouraged. If you understand that this is actually being fulfilled, God's word is being fulfilled in our world right now. We need to concentrate on what God's word says to us, apply it to our hearts and our lives, and then live that in every area of our heart and life as God sees fit in our lives. Think about for a moment God's holiness. And if you stop and evaluate again your sinfulness and bring that before God and say, God, I have sinned. I confess my sin and I ask you to come into my heart, my life. And when you're in my life, a change takes place, and I just pray that God will continue to work in me. We need to walk in the light, not in the darkness. We need to show the world there's something different about us. We need to show the world that God desires that we have a relationship with him, as I mentioned before, that if we have sinned, we confess our sin, and then it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word fellowship is mentioned here four different times in this chapter, this first chapter. It talks about partnership. It's talking about allowing Christ to live through our lives as a witness to the world, that the world would see something different in us. It's necessary for us to, first of all, be takers of that love and that care that God has for us in every part of our lives. So think about, for a moment, the message. The world is trying to dispel this message and say it's not really that important. If you look around you today, you'll see every facet of reality of the world is saying it's not important who God is, it's important who I am. I pray that that's not true in our lives. I pray that we put God as center. The message in my life is the center, that God is center of everything that I do in life. This is the message. Hold on to that for a few seconds as you think about what God can do through you. The second point I want to make is found in chapter 2 in verse 25. You'll notice something here, just in a very short order. In chapter 2, verse 25, it says, this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. See, notice where I'm going here. This is. This is not something that I hope for. This is the reality in my life today when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I have read a couple of different books, but I have a little book in my library. It says, God's Promises. If you don't have a little book like that, go to the Christian bookstore and pick one up. It's helpful just to stop sometimes when we get in that state of what's happening in our society, what's happening in our world, that we just dwell in the promises of God in every part of our lives as we think about his goodness and his grace in our hearts. As I think of God's promises, it says he promised us eternal life. Now, unfortunately, many, many times we think of life, eternal life, is where my mother-in-law on November the 30th breathed her last breath and went into heaven, went into the presence of God. That's what we think of as eternal life. That is true, but eternal life is not just a promise, it's a present possession I have today. I can hold on to the fact that Jesus Christ saved me and that eternal life exists in me today, and I want to be able to see God continue to work in my life over and over and over again as I wait upon him. He said, this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Eternal life is a possession as well as a promise. It is the reality of what God can do through my life. This is what the promise amounts to. No less than eternal life, life eternal with God. Eternal life is not just by name, but it's by abiding in Christ today, allowing Christ to work through my life, that I might share with others around me what that means for me. You know something, I really believe that if we live our lives honoring to God, the world will ask us questions. We don't have to be standing on a street corner and preaching. My life, I pray, is a testimony of what Christ has done in me. And as most of you know, if not all, I was a police officer. And when I was a police officer, I was pretty young. I was in my 20s. And as a police officer, I found myself a little timid about saying too much because you want to fit in to a certain point. But you know something, I never gave up my Christian values. I never allowed that to take over. Sure, I backslid a little bit at times, but you know something, in the end, there were many, many guys who would come alongside and say, hey, how come you don't join in with this, or you don't talk the way we talk? And even though pretty timid at times, you can say, because I'm a Christian, I don't believe in that. And they laugh. Sure, they laugh. But they're not laughing at me. They're laughing at God. And I just want to be a witness for God, even though they might ridicule. And you know something? Some of those guys came back later when they're running into trouble and say, what do I do? I know that you're a Christian. Well, they didn't quite use that term, but I know that you're religious. So I don't think, consider myself religious, but I have a relationship with the living God, and I thank God for that. As I think about the eternal life that he's given, John said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I live my life today pleasing God, but one day when I reach the end of life, and I was thinking about that the other day, you know, 70 years old, I mean, how much longer do I have? Another 10 years or 20 years or maybe 30, I don't know. But I pray that when I reach the end of my life, I will be much like my mother-in-law. The last 2 weeks of my mother-in-law's life was pretty tough for us. She wasn't responding very much. She was pretty well out of it as far as we could tell. I've been told many, many times in a situation like that, the last to go was the hearing. So I would go in to sit beside Mom. My wife would be with me. And I would pray with her and I'd read scripture. And she died on a Wednesday morning. And on Monday morning, I was in with her because we were in there every day the last week just to spend time. We tried to do a round of clock just to be with her. Unfortunately, nobody was with her the moment she passed, but they were there just moments after. And the Monday afternoon, I was praying with her, and I said, Mom, I'm just going to read to you Psalm 23. And as I started to read Psalm 23 to her, she was laying back with her head in the pillow, face up. And when I started reading to her Psalm 23, her head, Nancy said she could just see her head, whole head turning toward me. And what a thrill. What a thrill to know that she heard that. I believe that she heard that. I really do. And that that was a comfort for her, and that was her response to those last hours that she heard the Word of God. And I think of, as I dwell on that, as I think on that, I just want to thank God that I know that Mom, because of her testimony, was a Christian, and Mom loved the Lord and wanted to serve Him, wanted to be with Him. Many, many times she'd say, I just want to go home. I'm ready to go. It says in John chapter 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The thought here of not only of eternal life in heaven, but the promise right today, what God will do in our hearts and our lives. He said he's come to give us life and give that life abundantly. Eternal life is a blessing. Eternal life is a future hope in my heart, my life, as I understand God's word and God's promises to my life. So I talk about the message. I talk about eternal life as being that point of right now, but also the future. But then I want to talk a little more practically from Scripture, from chapter 3, verse 23. This is the commandment, that you believe in the name of the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another just as He has commanded us. As I think of the message, as I think of the promise, here's my part. Here's my part, to understand God's word and to obey His commands. He says, my commands are not burdensome. I want to just allow God's Spirit to work through my life. The commandment is through faith. Faith in God first, to obey Him. It says here that this is a commandment that you believe in the name of the Son of God. Everything comes back to Christ. Everything comes back to who Christ is in my heart, in my life, and what Christ's existence is for me in my life. As we think about the birth of Christ this last week, we also think forward to His purpose on earth was to die on the cross for our sin. And what a thrill that is when we understand that God the Father sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have, what? Everlasting life. What a thrill to know that today. What a thrill to hold on to that as we begin a new year, not focusing on what's going on around us so much as
as the hope. It's not the hope of what our governments will do, because that won't work. It's the hope of what God will do through us as we honor him in every area of our lives. Let me say this. To believe in his name means to believe in his deity, to believe in his sonship, to believe in his office, to believe him as mediator, to believe in him as advocate and savior. I need to trust God fully in everything that he has done for me in sending the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. Faith is the initial act of believing that leads to my life of faith. I can't live a life of faith until, first of all, I allow God to take control of that area of my life. I can't love you until, first of all, I love God. I mean, I can't love you biblically until, first of all, I love God. First of all, I love God. We have spent 48 and a half years together, my wife and I. And I've often said to her, you know, as we approach 50 soon, I promised her, I better not say this publicly, should I? I promised her a trip to Alaska, because she's always wanted to go to Alaska. So I said, on our 50th anniversary, we'll plan a trip to Alaska. So you hold me to that, okay? If I'm able. But think about it. 48 and a half years, I thank God for her, because she's God's gift to me. And I thank God for what he has done in our hearts in the last 48 and a half years. And as I think about that, I want to allow God to be honored even in our relationship. If I can put God first and my wife in the proper place that he's wanting her to be, she's the most important person on this earth to me, but falls under the relationship I have with God. And if I can understand that relationship with God, if I can love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, I think, somewhere in there. If I can really understand what that means to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, this part is a lot easier. It's not perfect, because we're not perfect. But as I love God, God helps me to love those around me. The easiest for me would be to love my partner, then to love people that are unlovable. You ever run into people that sometimes rub you the wrong way? Don't answer that, please. Rub you the wrong way, but just think about it for a moment. If I can understand what it means to love God and allow God to work in my heart, this is his commandment, that we believe in him. It all comes back, everything flows back to who Christ is in our hearts and our lives, to believe in him. Many commandments can be summed up with this practice, a faith in practice. Faith in God, the power of his actions, the power of his love and care in my heart and in my life. What a change that makes. How do I love God? I would suggest to you, January 1, 2017, that we take those little devotional books you've been given and start today, and just trust God every day to take the 15 or 20 minutes or whatever time. It may start off with 15 or 20 minutes, but it will grow. And just say, I need to do this every day. I need to read into the scriptures every day. If you want to read through your Bible, good day to start. I'm not a big proponent of that, because it's just rote reading. I want to be, I have something that can help me to be growing. And those little booklets you have, we've used them in other churches. They're a fantastic guide to just lead you into God's word, and just allow God's word to penetrate in our hearts and our lives. So as I do that, at the very beginning of the year, if I say, Lord, I just want to honor you, then all of a sudden it becomes a part of who I am. And it flows from my life because of what God has done in my life. As I think about that, I also think about, how do I love people? If I love God, if I spend time with him. You know something, when my wife and I got together, actually, we've been together for 51 years, because we dated for 3 before we got married. As we met 51 years ago, reflecting on this not too long ago, you know, our love grew. And why did it grow? Because we spent a lot of time together. We listened to each other. We grew together emotionally, and God led us together in marriage, and led us together in having 2 children, and then now grandchildren. And it was because we spent time, we listened to each other. And isn't that so true with God? if we just spend a little more time just to make a commitment this today, to spend time just alone with God, spend time in God's Word, spend time praying with our spouse if we don't already do that, just to say, Lord, I want to love you. I want, the most important thing is in my life is to love you. And then the second part of that is to really just obey his commandments. What's the last part here say? That this is his commandment, you believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps the commandments abide in him, and he in them. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful truth. It's not the success of the world, but the success of allowing God to work in our hearts. Is there somebody maybe in your life, maybe even here, that you think, well, I really don't like that person, or I don't feel comfortable with that person? I would suggest you pray that God will give you something that would help you in life. I remember as a youth advisor a number of years ago, I was in my early 20s. I was serving in my church as a couple. We were serving in our church, not I, we were. And we were youth leaders in our church. I was a young police officer. And there was one girl there that was just a little hard to love. She had some issues. She had some odor issues, to say it nicely. And it was just really difficult. And I was trying to show some love to her. And somebody said to me one day, as I was, after I led a devotional, they came to me and said, you really don't like, I'll just call her name Heather. It wasn't Heather. I can't remember her name now. And I said, oh, I love her. You know, it's evident that you don't. And I had to go before God and say, Lord, I think that's right. I think I need to look beyond the physical to see the heart. And God began changing me to be able to love this person just like anybody else. And it became a very important lesson for me to allow God to help me to see beyond the physical, just to see what God could do in her life and what a change that made in me. And I pray in her too, because it's so important to allow God's Spirit to work in every part of our lives. See, there's a two-pronged commandment here: to love, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to love one another. How do I express that love? I know from spending some time in this church a few years ago, I see that. I see that you care for people. I see that you care to reach out to those in need. But don't lose that. Don't lose a sense of what you can do as a church congregation for a needy family. Don't lose that caring capacity to see beyond yourselves. Don't just be to look at this, what we can do within ourselves, but see what we can do beyond this ourselves. I was watching something on Facebook the other day. A church in Woodstock took upon themselves to, and I don't know a whole lot. I know the church. It's a Pentecostal church in Woodstock. And they went into the local supermarket, and the youth pastor went into the supermarket, and what he did was he went to the cash register when people are paying and said, can I pay for your groceries today? I don't know how much money they spent. They must spend a lot of money. Can I pay you for your groceries today? Well, what's the catch? No catch. We're just down the street. We just want to show love. The expression was unbelievable. But I mean, we don't have money to throw away. Have you went through a Tim Hortons and said, I'll pay for the person behind me? I had that experience a couple of years ago. I was in Tim Hortons in Elmer, and I got up the window, and the girl said, yours is paid for. I said, pardon? She said, well, the guy that just left paid for yours. And I thought, great. Stuck my wallet back in my pocket. No. Let me pay for the person behind me. What do they owe? And so I paid for them. And we just need to express that love somehow, whatever way that may be, and just allow God's Spirit to work in our lives. I heard a fella in Tilbury, he was in the Army. He went into Tim Hortons and gave them $500 worth of gift cards. Said, I want you to use this for the next customers till the $500 is used up. And the manager said, he said, I don't want to be known. I don't want anybody to know who I am. He said, why are you doing that? He says, I want to give back. This country has blessed me, and I want to bless this country. And And honestly, not expecting anything in return. What a thrill that is to just allow God to use us in that way. One more. We're going to deal with one more, and then we're going to close for today, and we'll come back to it next week. I love this whole passage. But let me turn to chapter 5 for a moment. Look at verse 3 of chapter 5. Let me back up here a little bit. Look at verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves God loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know the love of the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God. This is a demonstration of God's love in us and through us as we express that over and over again in our lives. You know, when you come in here and you say, Happy New Year, blessings on you, maybe there's something else we need to look at in their lives. Maybe there's something going on. If somebody's gone through bereavement in the last year or two, whatever, do something special for them. Just reach out. And allow God's Spirit to use you in a very, very special way, in a very tangible way. He says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And we're going to pick up on this next week. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It all points back to who Christ is. And as you start 2017, focus on, we let go of the past has happened. We need to focus on what God can do in a new year. In our lives, as Nancy and I, we've lost both my parents, now both of her parents. We need to focus on what God can do in us to live that example that our parents placed in our lives. I marvel at the fact we have three grandchildren. I marvel at the fact of God's blessing in our lives. And so somehow I have to share that love with my own kids and my own grandchildren, but beyond. Allow God to use you in the capacity, and you say, well, I can't afford to pay for somebody's coffee behind me. But maybe there's something else you can do. Maybe we can't give $500 to Tim Hortons and say, pay for the next number of people or something like that. But maybe it's not the actual money part of it, but maybe just the actual allowing God's Spirit to work in us to go behind, stand behind somebody in their difficult time, just to encourage them in the way that they God can lead in our hearts and our lives. And as I think, for me, as I turn another year older and a new year at the same time, what can I do to show that demonstration of God's love in my heart, my life? This is the love of God. How do I love God? How do people see God's love in my life? By the way I live. If I can come back to the message, if I can come back to the promise, if I can come back to the commandment, if I can come back to this love, because we want to look next week at the victory and the confidence we have as we come before the Lord and allowing God to work in our hearts and our lives, what a change that makes in me. So I need to stop and not say, well, Lord, you need to do something in my wife's life or my kid's life. I need to say, Lord, what can you do in my life? Most of you, if not all of you, know I was a counselor for a number of years. And as I was counseling with people, and they'd say, you know something, if you could just change my wife, or you just change my husband, then everything would be all right. You just make her a little more submissive, or make him a little less demanding, or whatever. I said, no. What about you? How do you respond to that? To show love to your partner, even though you don't see it back, but show love to your partner, because if we feel that love relationship in a person's life, they want to generally want to give back. And so how do I say, Lord, it's not about me changing Nancy, and I don't, don't want to change her in any way. But it's not about me wanting her change. How do I change to allow God to use me to minister to her or to minister my kids or minister to you? Lord, just use me. Just humble me, Father. Just allow me to be the servant that you want me to be. And the love of Christ may be seen in me. And as the love of Christ is seen in me, there's the change that happens. As you start 2017, keep that in your mind. How important is God's word? How important is the message to you personally? If it's important to you personally, it'll show in your life. How important is the promise of God of eternal life in your life? If it's reality in your life, you'll show that through your commitment to him every day. What about the commandments of God? What do I do to show this love of God in my heart and my life? What a change that makes in me. I'm sure Prasads don't go down to South America for the last 10 years just to have a holiday. I don't think that's a holiday time. Why do they go? They go that they want to have an impact on the world, not just this world, but the world beyond Sarnia. And I'm thankful and praising the Lord that they do that. But what a thrill to be a part of that. You are part of that. You support them. You pray for them. And you'll hear some of the great things that are going on in life as we see God's hand and God's direction. Thank you, Dawson, for not putting up any more. I thought maybe if you get boring, you'd start putting up stuff on the overhead here. But you were... Jim, did he fall asleep back there?
No,
he's not. Okay. Just allow God to use you in 2017. Just allow God to be the center circumference of your life, to be able to say, Lord, I just want to be used of you this coming year. And next week, Lord willing, I got two different directions I might go, but next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk a little more about that relationship with God, that relationship we can have with one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, that you have directed us and very clearly to be a part of this church. Thank you for the team that's been leading us this morning. We just pray for your blessing upon each one of them. And Father, use us today, even before we leave this place, just to allow you to use us to encourage somebody around us. Somebody that we may not even know going through difficulty, may be struggling with some issues. And Father, we just pray that we would be a channel of blessing in this church, a channel of blessing in this community, a channel of blessing in our world, to see your hand and your direction in all that we do. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.